What are you doing? You planting seeds?
No, we would play me and some of my
the crops.
No, me and some of my friends would play soccer golf a lot. We'd do that and just chill out on the deck. But we would, I mean, soccer golf pretty self-explanatory. So like you put a cone on one end in a particular place in the yard, and it was kind of hilly too, and there were trees and stuff. Make like a cone box and then try to kick it into the box. So it might take you a few shots, like to drive it in that range, and then
Dominique, I'm gonna stop you right there. Okay. This is the whitest thing you've ever said on Debatable.
It kind of is.
All
right,
huh?
Soccer
soccer in golf. Well, I feel like golf, soccer internationally, I would not consider it very white, but golf.
What country would be good at soccer golf? Like, who's the country that would be, right, the premier
gotta
country?
Gotta be, like, traditional soccer powers, like Brazil, Germany, France, England. Yeah.
Before we begin to travel the Earth on Earth Day, incidentally, hello. Welcome to Debatable.
Day?
We're tweeting.
I'm about to tweet.
The show in honor of the Earth and in honor of a fake television show where we debate nothing. Hello. This is, I think, Alabaster. Oh, God, that hand, that small hand scanning a menu of options for us. That's the other innovation we've had. Since you were on the show with us last week, we have a menu of topics.
That's how this works now?
It's not a menu.
Yeah,
it's a rundown.
I mean, no.
And Alabaster's trying to pretend like it's a menu. It's not a menu. It's a
we also have a clock.
Yeah, you would have to be like, you'd have to be like better with the names if you were going to do like, you know, like a menu, right? Like Tostito Wolves or like, you know, like alliteration always works in these. And you know what I mean?
Something that sounds delicious. Yeah. It's all about the adjectives. In the countries, like I feel like you look at a menu, they put like where the food is from and that like makes it seem like it's better. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like Alaskan sea bass is somehow better than if they just put sea bass on the menu.
Right. Or as if anyone knows where sea bass actually originates or comes from. It's like probably, I just assume always with fish at the grocery store, it comes from a sea bass farm.
I'm sure they have made in a retention pond somewhere near my house. And they've named their farm Alaska, and then they just send it over, and we're like, oh.
Yeah, not a lie.
Those sea bass lived very unhappy lives.
Yeah.
There is no getting around that. They hated everything that came before their death. Death for them was a sweet, merciful release. Here is your well done sea bass.
Thanks for bringing this Friday happy energy, Pablo.
Earth Day. So, by the way, respect the Earth like the first ballot Hall of Famer that she is.
Wait, can I ask you something really fast before we get into the subject and really make Charlie sad? I had a crisis of conscience the other day, and I want to know what you guys would have done, okay, as it pertains to Mother Earth. Clearly, we all know you don't throw trash out the window. I get that, right?
Okay.
Because it's not. But I sort of have, at least, I pretend like I was taught this, but I pretty much just made this up years ago, and I tell myself this a lot, that if I'm eating an apple, right? Or something that is
biodegradable.
Yep. I can toss it. Am I wrong? Like, you know what I mean?
Wrong.
Like if I'm done with my orange, like, can't I just toss it into the street? I'm just wondering.
Okay,
if that's
hold on. I was with you when I was imagining you tossing it like onto a patch of grass where maybe this could over the years be sort of eroded into
life. Well, you just throw it out the window. I don't know if it lands on the grass. Maybe it does.
Okay.
I believe you're wrong.
So
I believe
the first
wrong.
Part where Elle said, you know how we were taught that this thing is bad and then proceeded to say, I do this thing that I was taught is bad. I feel like that's where we jumped out of the car alongside the apple that you threw out of it.
I mean, I think if you're in deep in the woods, that's one thing, but we live in
deep
like,
in the woods.
We Fox, live in like,
would I ever be deep
exactly,
in the
that's
woods?
That's my point. That's why immediately I said no, because like you're either throwing it on a neighbor's lawn or you're throwing it like in the middle of an urban street. Like there's no proper way to dispose of this unless you are like throwing it in the woods where it will actually biodegrade. Like it.
So I'm just supposed to hang on to an apple core all day? Like that sounds completely unreasonable.
What would you do what would you do with a wrapper of some fruit snacks? You'd hang on to that until you found a trash can. Same thing.
Well,
you
do because it's a wrapper. It doesn't get like juice everywhere. It doesn't get things sticky. It doesn't attract flies. What are you talking about? Ew.
How far are you from trash cans? Like on a regular basis? Like,
I'm driving. If I grab a banana,
put that
for
thing
the
in a cup holder
work,
until you get to work.
Guys,
why,
someone's this,
gonna leave the peel there? Why
no,
not
when
drop
you get
off
to
for
work,
an animal?
When you get to work,
what,
you take it
what
in.
What was not clear about my plea to respect the Earth like a first ballot Planet Hall of Famer? what are we doing here? Alabaster, I presume that there is some like big picture, like long arc of millennia truth to Elle's position here. Like at some point, yes, this will sort of like biodegrade.
I'm very pro compost. I'm very pro throwing produce onto biodegradable things like grass, mulch, etc. But to your point, Dominique, there's not great apple disposal in Washington, D.C. where we are. You guys ready to talk about the basketball?
Please? Sure, why not?
Okay.
I suppose. So what is our first menu item today?
Yes, so we have a lovely, tender little veal chop that is Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, no.
Man, we got to talk about the Wolves who blew a couple of leads. Our question, was last night an all-time choke by the T-Wolves?
Yeah, for the first menu item, we've ordered the Heimlich maneuver. So in basketball, there's this cliche that is absolutely true, right? Basketball is a game of runs. And that is so. There are streaks. The game is never over until one team tries to climb out of a giant hole and maybe gets there, maybe doesn't. The thing about why this is all time, guys, last night is that the T-Wolves had two 20-point leads, one of 25 points, another of 26 points. Both of them got all the way bloated out. And so I am... Yeah, all time feels like the appropriate sort of scale to evaluate this on. This felt like as bad a choke job as I can personally recall.
It was demoralizing also. Like, I don't know that chokes cannot be demoralizing, but all the way into the final whistle when Ja Morant is blocking a shot damn near out of the arena just for emphasis. Like, it felt different than just a choke job. So, like, yeah, the Grizzlies deserve credit for the comeback, but I don't know how you can't blame the Wolves more than anyone in this situation when they have the players that they have and the leads that they had. Like, yeah, I tweeted out immediately, this series is over. Like, it just felt like a psychological defeat that the series record does not fully like encompass.
Yeah, 2-1, but also L. Dominique taking the brave stance of stomping on the grave of these choked out.
They may
wolves.
Not wake up tomorrow.
Well, the biggest problem is the aforementioned points that you all laid out so adeptly, but also that, like, I think the most embarrassing part of this choke job, apart from the 220 plus blown leads, is that the game balls went to Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you wake up and you haven't seen that game and you hear about that, you're like, oh, Ja must have had 60. Yeah. No, Ja didn't have like a great game at all. And so I think that's probably what's more embarrassing is that you didn't get beat by Ja Morant. You got beat by, and that's, you know, I think that's the thing about the Grizzlies. What makes them dangerous is their braggadoche, right? And the fact that they're young and that they were not supposed to be this high in that conference, but also they do have depth. They're that confident. But yeah, this is bad. I want to give you two credit though. Because a lot of times when these subjects come up about choke jobs, I always clutch my pearls because I know inevitably something's going to get mentioned. And you didn't mention it. And I just want to say for all the Atlanta people that are watching right now, they want to thank you. And we can just leave it there. And we can just leave it there.
That was a great stat that you just
over. No, come on, Charlie, God, whatever.
A secret off-menu item. You order the T-Wolves animal style, you get the Falcons.
The medicine ball.
Also dead, 28-3.
Hold on. Al, what is the psychological makeup of someone whose handwriting looks... Nope, put it back, Charlie.
Yeah,
someone's
it's
handwriting
serial killer-ish.
Looks like that,
yeah.
Right? Okay, yeah, we established it yesterday. I just wanted to make sure that... We weren't off. It's wildly inconsistent is what concerns me. And I'm fine with having sloppy handwriting. My handwriting's not all that neat. Yeah. But the fact that, like, it seems like the two numbers were written by two different people, it concerns me.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to sort out, like, what would a normal person write like? Who wasn't a serial killer? What would they do?
He's
how could I
so
act like them?
He's so afraid to show us the card again. That alabaster.
You see? He's nervous. He's
this is
getting
a little close to home.
It
feels
he's not even
like
bringing up, yeah,
there
look
are,
at this.
I think that he has two personalities fighting over the pen at the same time. That's what it feels like.
The aggressive LOL is aggressive.
Who does the eight is bizarrely schizophrenic on its own? Which
We need to talk about the second L. Who has ever written an L where the bottom is longer than the top? You've got an inverted L here. It's very confusing. L, who is an expert on L's, is that the worst L you've ever seen?
How did you write a chota?
Not great. Yeah. And again, the inconsistency. It's like, just be consistently bad or it's not.
The L's wider than it is long.
It looks like
it long. It looks like he's trying to spell a word instead of L. It's like long.
I do have to ask. A drunk seven, I think, is what happened.
Mm. I do have to ask you this. Does the choke job become funnier, worse, based on the fact that Carl Anthony Towns was mic'd up and was talking very slick to start the game?
Yeah, let's talk about this. No, we should talk about Carl Anthony Towns talking, because they caught him on the sideline talking about how they're finally at home.
Ooh, we got a clip. We got a clip.
I'm going to shut up. We have a clip.
We in Minnesota now. Like I said after the media, all right, cool, we got to come back to our house now. I only seen them at their house.
Yeah, they were up 17 when he declared that. And this feels like a turning point, honestly, an unfortunate turning point, and one of my favorite innovations, which is the mic'd up player. Because remember when Sam Darnold said, mic'd up, you know, I'm seeing ghosts out there. And then everybody was like, we can never do this again. No one interesting can ever be mic'd up ever again. Carl Anthony Towns will never do this. And it's because, Al, you can't do that and then do what you did for the rest of the game, which is what, attempt how many shots, Alabaster, in the end?
Like six shots or four shots?
Something like that. RIP, the mic'd up player. We're never going to get this again.
By the way, I actually really like Carl Anthony Towns, and I thought that was the most adorable way to talk shit that I've ever heard. Did you hear him? He's like, like I had said to the media the other day, we have to come on home now, and you don't know what could happen. It was so cute.
It was like kids bop trash talk.
It was adorable.
It's funny that Elle's description of the trash talk felt slightly more threatening than the trash talk itself. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I was getting mean. She used the word there and not Carl Anthony Towns. So this is, this game aside, let's put it aside for a second and let's discuss something that has always been very interesting to me. What happens to all the mic'd up footage? Because as someone who has played in a number of professional games, I know that the NFL, they have records of people saying the most heinous thing. And I don't know if I ever need something to be guarded or protected. I believe that whoever protects the mic'd up footage, they should be in charge of protecting the Declaration of Independence, because nothing ever gets out. Like, nothing ever gets out. I'm telling
you, that's a great point.
That I've been mic'd up and said terrible things. I've seen terrible things said on the mic'd up, like things that should leak. Whoever is good, because someone has to listen to it, and I'm under the assumption that only one person is allowed to listen to it.
There's no way
that there's a team.
It's like the Chamber of Secrets.
No, because you can't trust that.
I hesitate to do this on live fake television, but we need someone to hack that person.
No, we don't. Please
release
don't.
The Foxworth
we can't,
cut.
We can't.
Release
no, I mean,
the Foxworth
I'm
cut.
Not worried about me, because I'm back page news. I'm worried about the things that your heroes have said, the offensive things that your heroes have said. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine the terminologies used.
Okay, let me throw this
Ray
out
Lewis
there.
Ray Lewis and kids bopping.
Let me throw this out
there. Oh, I'm not talking about him. I think most people would not be shocked. And he was like, by the time I played with Ray, he was an elder statesman. Like, he ain't have to say the greasy stuff that I'm sure he said when he was a rookie. Like, people respected him by then. I'm talking about, never mind.
Right.
That's what. Okay. So look. So if I was to jump on SportsCenter tonight, breaking news: the NFL Films has had their entire
catalog
stolen. Who do you think is the first person unsolicited to have a mea culpa? Who?
Tom Brady. I guarantee it's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady would like to announce that he is building a school.
Yes. Yes.
A school for the hard of hearing, yes. Very coincidentally. Why do we need to hear things?
Yeah.
Why? Let's all be the best version of ourselves without listening.
No, I mean, the things that I heard people say that they were going to do to other people, not even getting to the things that are going to happen to your family members, like to you. I'm going to do it to you. Like all the things that the words that we find objectionable, like, can you believe what Donald Sterling said on a phone call with his girlfriend? Get these tapes.
Ooh, look, I've got so many people running through my head.
You don't want to see Alabaster, it. I hope it never gets
text
out.
Me in the group chat.
Nope.
Yeah, this is a group chat conversation now officially before it gets a little too hot. The block we're all standing
on. I'm not
on.
Texting nobody nothing because they probably that got footage of me saying reprehensible things also. So I'm not selling nobody out. I assume that they burn everything that they don't use. And the one person who's allowed to listen to it. And I think you also have to get team approval at some point. Which I guess they didn't get for us.
What did they do in game?
You don't have to get team approval.
They actually took their leather bottom shoes and like stomped them out. Yeah, they're manually doing that. They dance the top of the grave.
So the shredder they go.
They drop these tapes in the middle of the ocean. That's what they do.
Alabaster, very sadly, just put a check mark over the menu.
He really
item
did.
That
he
was
already gave
Grizzlies.
Up. Did you see how half-assed it was?
I know. Alabaster, what else did you want us to say? Carl Anthony Towns needs to like do everything different that he did when he woke up yesterday, today. He needs to stop watching those videos of gorillas murdering each other before games. Like Anthony Edwards lured us in and opened up the Geraldo's vault of nothing in terms of the potential that what else do you need us to do with the grave of the D-Wolves?
Honestly, you're just reading into that check mark way too much. As you said before, I simply have bad handwriting.
Yeah, that was an unenthusiastic check. I think the front end of the check, the fact that the front end of the check is so small, I think is what felt like the disrespect. Yeah. Like that's where we're like, oh, he's not happy with this.
That's like a brontosaurus head on that check mark. Yeah.
Poor
really
Charlie. Now we're disrespected by the way he checked.
I mean, it was sass. It was sass. It wasn't a full complete check. God. It was a little sass. He gave
There was sass. There was sass. Alabaster literally went and found a new slant. And we all made fun of that new slant.
Charlie's like, I wish someone would flash a camera
in
my eyes.
It is a cute check mark. I agree. The check mark is adorable.
It is. It has a little nub.
Yeah, but it also is sassy. Nub. I mean, sassy can be adorable too. Like, I feel like sass is what I use to describe adorable kids who do things that we don't enjoy. But we understood. We see it to your check mark. It's sassy.
Yeah.
It's like,
I think the subtext is shockingly like, wow, guys, we're only 40 minutes in and we've done one topic, shockingly. Yeah, like, that's what I was reading from it.
I think you're right. All right,
and for the record, Alabaster, you're a grown man who does adorable things that we don't like.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie is pretty cute. Like he's an adorable adult.
He is
adult.
Cute.
If you guys could ever see the rest of him, it is adorable.
Yeah.
Like if you see Charlie, I have to assume that you think he's younger than he actually is. Like when I first met Charlie, I was like, "What? No." You're like a kid who's hanging around here. You're supposed to be in high school somewhere.
Yep.
Skincare. You thought it was take your son to work day.
Skincare. If you're to the pale army, start your skincare early.
All right. Anybody
else? All right, Alabaster.
Moving on.
Feed us.
All right.
Feed us.
Going on to the Jazz and the Mavs, our first main course. The Jazz lost again to the Mavs without Luka. Is it time for this Jazz team to blow it up?
Yes, in short, yes, right? Like, so the Knicks, by the way, the vulturous Knicks were already circling even before this series started, right? They show up in Dallas to scout Donovan Mitchell, and it turns out now, more pressingly, Jalen Brunson, who has scored 72 points in the last two games and has exactly one turnover, which is just mind-blowing. But the Jazz, like, there are some teams that are dysfunctional and bad. There are other teams that are almost perfectly dysfunctional and perfectly bad. And Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, I mean, that's what we're really talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, do you get those two guys out of each other's workplaces? Because there is a world right now where both of them is talking tremendous amounts of adult bop trash talk on each other.
I mean,
and
the group
both
text.
Of them...
The group texts that have their friends from home in it, they are firing each other up. And the French insults in Rudy Gobert's group text, oh, I bet they are magnificent.
How can we all assume French people talk like this?
Yeah. I know. We always do the Italian hand gesture.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know any other. We don't know any other European hand
gesture.
I always, when I think French, I think like this. Yeah. I think like a little bit of a head tip while you say it. Imbecile.
You know what? Right? Charlie's check. Hella French.
Ooh, it was French. Charlie's it was check uppity. Was French. It was just a little uppity. Like, yeah.
So noted uppity center Rudy Gobert. When he's on the floor.
Anyway.
The Jazz have been outscored by 26 points over the last two games. Why? Can you not do that?
Don't go back to it. Okay, fair enough.
But the thing that Rudy Gobert can tell his very French group chat
you,
that
Bob,
he would be very, very justified Charlie, in feeling is that Rudy Gobert is saying, look, and this is another, we got to stop trafficking French stereotypes. Right? What Rudy Gobert is that this poor defense is not my fault.
They got an important election happening over there. He need to go home.
We can defend our half
campaign
of the court.
Campaign from Macron ASAP.
But I need help. I need help.
Yeah, you talk about somebody need some help. The Jazz season is over. You need to go home, get your campaign on, Rudy, immediately. But
there's a populist threat endangering the democracy of France.
I don't think that the question is, should we blow him up or not? Because I think that we all accepted that. Many of us thought so before now. I think the question is, do you have a piece to build around? Should you keep one of those pieces and try to build around them? Or should you completely blow it up? Because I think it's clear that they ain't getting where they want to go anytime soon. The piece you would keep, I think most people would argue, is Donovan Mitchell, but he's a volume scorer, which, like, I don't know if you want to build around him. If you keep Rudy Gobert, then you're building around someone who, like, I think I was unfair to him last time we talked about him because
bring French for 10 minutes? We're talking about the
I'm talking about last time we talked about him is, like, I was pointing out that their defense was bad, and what's the point in having him on the floor if the defense is still going to be bad? But no one else plays defense. They just wait for Rudy to erase.
That's the problem. Donovan Mitchell, I mean, this stat that Alabaster just laid down in support of Dominique here, that the Jazz shot 57% from the field, the highest percentage field goal in a loss in playoff history. Mm. Like, the scoring's all well and good, but when you, Donovan Mitchell, are a human turnstile, like, it's indefensible in all of the senses.
I think that this is just one of those teams where, like, you know how, like, people, like teams have, like, mottos, you know, and it's like, strive for this or whatever. Like, the Jazz should just be like, Utah Jazz, we just regular. You know what I mean? We just regular. Like, they are really good in the regular season. Like, it's like 6 years. You know who they are?
Regular,
you know who they
actually.
Are? They're the Gonzaga of the NBA. Oh, it's like every year, y'all want to believe it's the year. Every damn year. Man. Every year. And then it's like, well, if you can't do it this year for 8 years running, it's like, you know, this is, come on. It's not working. It's like, there's no shame in losing to the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. They always lose in the first or second round. But if they have Luka Doncic, but they don't.
Yes, that's it.
They don't have Luka Doncic. Come on.
They
don't. Like, this is embarrassing. And Quinn Snyder, honestly, it was funny. A few weeks ago on SportsCenter, there, you know, I'm like going over my producers, like, what are we going to talk to whatever about? And they're like, well, just potential, like, you know, targets for the Lakers for head coach. And they're going to talk about Quinn Snyder. And I was like, but Quinn Snyder is a coach of a playoff team. Like, why would he? And then I remembered immediately. I was like, oh, they're going to fail. They're going to woefully unimpress and underperform and be out of the playoffs very soon. So that'll be fine. That's just who the Jazz are. You know, I'm not really sure that there's a plan. I think the Knicks are trying to go get Donovan Mitchell. I think you got to blow this thing up. I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, at some point in the West, you just have to say, like, they've been the one seed, the two seed, the three seed. How many seeds you going to try on? None of them work. Ain't no plants coming. Them seeds is useless. Like, just move on.
They're as useless as an apple core on a bunch of asphalt.
Don't blame me when all of a sudden along my route to work, there are new apple trees, okay? Because I did that. I did that. Sprouted up.
Dominique, we cannot hear Dominique, which is appropriate because I'm sure
okay,
he's saying
I'm back.
Something.
I just assume that you can't grow apple trees from apple seeds inside apples that we purchase, because isn't there like a whole pollinization or seed, like you still got like the plant intercourse has to take place somewhere along the line,
yep.
right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, what I wanted to say earlier.
Trees aren't horny enough.
The analysis that I really wanted to make earlier that is very important is Quinn Snyder looks like if Jay Wright did Molly for the first time. Think about it. Because I mean, Quinn Snyder's like this close to being smooth, but nah, it's just a sweaty mess all the time. Yeah, it's like Jay, when he wakes up in the morning, he's like, I'm gonna be Jay Wright. But somebody popped a Molly in his drink and he's like, what in the
pop Molly, I'm sweating.
Yeah. That's it, right?
He's Jay Wright with wildly dilated pupils.
Exactly. That was like, a better way of
going
that
on
was a
here.
Better way of saying drugs in his system.
Looks like somebody who calls Batman the Batman.
Yeah, he gives continue. Me I was just about to say he gives me big like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho energy. Like the real life version of him, right? Like right, the slicked hair and sort of the right?
Has anyone ever seen Quinn Snyder's handwriting?
Okay. Oh, it does Charlie. In my mind. It absolutely is Alabaster handwriting.
I think Quinn Snyder is slipping numbers into sentences. He just throwing all types of wild foolishness.
Yeah. Quinn Snyder always looks like it's 4 a.m. even though it's 9 a.m. It's like this guy's had a long, terrible day.
Yeah, he always looks like he's had a bad day. Are you okay? Yeah. Every time you see him, are you good?
He does always look like he just got laid off. Oh, man. I like
and
this.
Now,
Quinn Snyder become the new Pablo Jeans?
Oh, no. No.
I'm in favor, no, he's, I'm in favor he, of that.
No, he's way too impressive.
But from an analysis standpoint, do the Jazz fans even like their team? Like, I feel like that's the question. Do the Jazz fans, because I feel like they are also probably, I don't know, because I'm not up on Jazz Twitter.
I have Jazz friends.
No, you don't.
I do. My producer on my show is a Jazz guy. He's from Utah. He's a Jazz guy. You know what? They're so nice. They're sort of very much on the, like, we're just happy to be here.
Oh.
They're like, you know what they do? They find other people to cling on to. So, you know, for a while it was like Donovan Mitchell and it was like he was keeping them happy. Now that it sort of seems like he's not enough, you know who they love now? They've like really, they cling on to their owner. They're like, well, we got a great ownership. Our ownership is incredible. Like
that's
they love
depressing.
Him now. So they've
that's
all bought in. So they're just sort
of
like, he's going to figure it out. We believe in him.
You should do some voiceover work. I feel like you could do cartoons. That was impressive.
I was going to say, Alabaster, that Quinn Snyder looks like the guy that Ryan Smith, the owner of the Jazz, just fired, but that may literally be something that happens in the next several years. So what did you want to say?
It's very possible. I actually have a question about the other side of this series. And before we move on.
Hold on. Ain't Dwayne Wade like a minority owner there?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they talking about
yes,
him?
He is. Yeah. A minority owner.
Yes. Double. I'm sorry.
No,
Allie.
All good.
Give me what you got.
Do you guys think that this Mavs team, if they get Luka back, could actually like potentially win the West? Like
no.
They're really good. He's one of the five best players in the league.
No.
Oh, so Maxi
if you're
Kleber
measuring
just gonna be
the
unconscious.
No.
Yeah. If Maxi Kleber gonna be unconscious all the way through the playoffs, like nah, I don't see that happening. No. I guess they will have presumably injured Suns team if the Suns get past. So if the Suns lose to the Pelicans, a healthy Ooh. Mavs team could then beat the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And then in the finals, in the conference
lose
finals,
to the Warriors.
They have to play the Warriors.
Ooh,
and I got the Warriors
take.
Winning there. Well, I didn't get the scorching take joke.
Alabaster lashing out. I mean, I will say in Alabaster's defense here, like the fact, and Al, you mentioned this, this is the story, though, of the series. Luka Doncic isn't playing. When that guy comes back and they resume the thing where they have a heliocentric
look at him.
Oh, wow.
Those are respectful checks.
I was just about to sing the praises of Luka Doncic,
but
in comes Alabaster with new.
No, did you glue
that.
Those?
Printed
no,
out
Charlie?
Check marks.
That's color John. Printing, too? That's color printing, too?
Wow, you reprinted those just to
Hold
be able
on.
To put checks on them?
That sends my mind down a different path. How do we feel about color printing these days? Because I feel like when I was a kid, color printing was a big deal. Like,
absolutely.
I had to put together a PowerPoint presentation in order to get approval to color print something at home or in the classroom. And Charlie just out here color printing willy-nilly because his handwriting stinks. Must be rich.
He
was DPI.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I'm getting big rich energy. I wasn't even thinking. You know why he must be rich? Not because he can color print, because he has the time to go back, pull up a clip art, place it on top of the box, choose the color, specifically green. I don't know if he's trying to tell us something there.
Yeah,
then reprint it. The time.
What we don't see is that Alabaster, much like Quinn Snyder, actually, is just yelling at his underlings.
Yeah. He's
got get me green check marks.
Yeah, now.
They cannot keep laughing at me, is what he's yelling.
All right, now we got to figure out a way to make him right again. We'll get to that at some point. What's next, Charlie? I mean, Alabaster.
All right, we're going to move on to the Suns and the Bucks, who are both missing stars. Devin Booker and Chris Middleton are both out for several weeks. Which of their teams do you think are in the most trouble, or is in the most trouble?
I like how we're going to get a winner out of this question. Like, one of these teams should theoretically feel better about themselves, even though all this question is doing is getting us to talk about how two separate teams are individually really going through it right now.
So there's two ways to look at this question. I think one is you like analyze the path that they're on, and then two is like you analyze the loss to the team. So I think losing Devin Booker is bigger to the Suns than losing Middleton is to the Bucks, because this puts more weight on Chris Paul, who is old and does have a bit of an injury history. But they, assuming they win this series, or I mean, not even assuming they win this series, their opponent in this series is a team that they can beat without Devin Booker. And then their opponent in the next round will be either the Mavs or the Jazz. Mavs. Yeah, it'll be the Mavs. Another team that I think they can beat without them. So on the other side, the Bucks don't have any time off, but they do have Giannis, a young guy who apparently is impervious to injury, because when we saw his knee go backwards last year, he came out and played better than he had ever played in the history of his life.
It is crazy that we did see, right, that hyperextended knee in the Eastern Conference Finals, comes back, plays a million minutes, dominates the Suns, incidentally, in the finals.
Couldn't that happen for Clint Capella with the Hawks? It's fine. No one's talking about the Hawks. I know. It's fine. I actually think it's the Bucks, though, because I understand that, like, Chris Paul's an old man, but think about it. Nothing drives an old man quite like purpose, like a goal. Like the old man strength from ego alone is just like, Chris Paul is like not another injury. Like, can you imagine? And it's not even him this time. It's like he is so snake bit. And I'm just imagining, do you know what I mean? Like, whatever willpower, we just saw the Boston Marathon, whatever willpower has people that are literally like crawling on their forearms to the finish line. I just feel like that's Chris Paul, and he'll do whatever is necessary. Well, DeAndre Ayton steps up more, like obviously more is asked of him offensively when Devin Booker doesn't play. I just trust those players more than I trust what the Bucks have on the bench. Like, I trust, you know, DeAndre Ayton more than I trust like Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. Connaughton. And he's one of those guys where you just really wish that it was just, you know.
That Pat Connaughton is not a Celtic is a crime.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
The Celtics, by the way, could have signed him, didn't sign him. And obviously they're doing all right. But, man, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah, so I think it's the Bucks. And on top of that, guys, the Bucks' path is more difficult. Like, they're either going to have to play the Celtics or the Nets. Like, that's harder than whoever Phoenix is going to end up having to play. So I think the Bucks are actually in a worse situation. And I know with Devin Booker's history, it sucks, right? Hammies linger. But I think the Bucks are in a worse situation. Like, the Suns can – they could make it through the first two rounds without him. They could.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, Devin Booker, kind of quietly because of Chris Paul's presence – he is the guy with the highest usage rate on the Suns, his highest usage rate on the Suns. And the reason why that's, I mean, obviously it's important, but if I don't say that the Suns can weather this, Alabaster, what have we learned, if anything, from the Suns season? Like, I feel like, yes, they're going to struggle without Devin Booker. I gave you stats yesterday to prove it. But if the Suns are really, like, the best team in franchise history, the best team they've ever had, if they're really the best team in the NBA, they should be uniquely qualified to figure it out from here. And the Bucks, I'd be more worried about them.
Yeah, that 8-6 is very different from a playoff team and within a series. But I think you guys are underappreciating how much the tax on Chris Paul is going to hurt this team in the long run, or could hurt Chris Paul. I agree with you, L, that if Chris Paul needed to finish a marathon, he would crawl his way across that line. However, there's going to be someone in front of him trying to get him to not finish that marathon.
Fair.
That's the issue. The issue is not if his willpower is strong enough to overcome. The issue is his willpower strong enough to overcome while there are younger, stronger people in front of him. So fair. He's smart enough to manufacture enough points to survive a game or two, I think. But I don't know if his basketball IQ can overcome the fact that he is old and the vegan diet, it's not going to be enough, I think, to overcome it. But their opponents are weaker. So I think I'd be more scared if I was a Bucks fan. But still, if the Suns make it to the conference finals or the finals, what version of Chris Paul are you going to be dealing with at that point is concerning to me.
What's funny, I mean, what's ironic somewhat about this for the Suns is that the Suns have lots of guys that they can afford to lose. I mean, the Suns basically have a roster full of these guys who are interchangeable, these like 6'6" wings, right? The Bridges, the Cam Johnsons, the Jay Crowders, all these guys. Like, they have a surplus of those dudes. But the one guy that's going to test them is the guy whose offense they've relied on all year. And right. On the other side of things, Alabaster, you put down this card, but I think it's telling. The Bucks do outscore opponents by 7.8 points per 100 possessions when Giannis and Drew Holiday share the floor without Middleton. That's promising. But to replace Middleton is to go and rely on the Pat Connaughtons of the world. And that's a bigger drop-off to me. So what are we missing in answering this question? Does this menu item feel like we've sufficiently taken a bite out of it, or what are we left here?
Oh, nice. The Nets. Pablo's nice. Fake team. Pablo's fake team of support, of choice, on record.
That's right. We got the Nets. And there's actually a bit of news surrounding this game, and that is that, according to Woj and Shams, there's a chance Robert Williams will be back for Game 3. Definitely for Game 4, it seems, but possibly Game 3. And that works with our question. And do you think the Nets bounce back tomorrow?
I do not. And the Robert Williams, the Time Lord thing, is enormous. The whole point of the Boston Celtics defense was that they had this centerpiece in Robert Williams who could switch everything, enable everything. And it turns out they can snuff out the greatest scorer on the planet without him. Robert Williams is almost uniquely situated to individually defend a Kevin Durant or a Kyrie Irving. He could do both. And the fact that they could do what they did without him and now he might be back, that feels unfair. Yeah. That's bad news.
I got the Nets winning. Bouncing back is a different story. I don't know. I feel like bouncing back suggests that they might win this series, or they might create or turn this into a series. I picked the Celtics before the series started, and I still think the Celtics are going to win. But KD's really good at basketball. We've seen two bad games from KD. Let's not pretend like KD ain't still KD. They're going to find a way to win one game.
Exactly. That's it, Fox. Like, I know Celtics defense is really good, but it's also like we saw the Celtics have taken really, really, really trash shots. Like, their efficiency is trash. And in fact, the Celtics, like, one weak spot is their 3-point defense, and the Nets aren't even trying. Like, they can't get in a rhythm. Kyrie had an awful game. They've had like a stretch of some of their worst games of their career. That's not exactly a blueprint to me. Now, some of that, of course, goes to the Celtics and that defense helping facilitate some of that. But you've watched that game. You think all you saw there was just great defense? You didn't. You saw KD making bad shots. You saw Kyrie taking bad shots when they took them. Like, it was just, I don't think that, I'm not sure that they're going to win this series. I actually think the Celtics are going to win this because I don't see the Celtics being able I don't see the Nets being able to run off 2 or 3 like they're probably going to need to win the series. But to think that they're not going to win a game, or that they're not going to have a game where they just absolutely dominate, it's coming at some point, you know, it has to, right? Like, but we think, but again, this has always been my point with the Nets. I have stood on this for like 2 years now, since last year's experiment. We don't know who this team is. We just keep giving them the benefit of the doubt. We just keep saying, like, we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're going to give it because of Kyrie, because of KD, because of how brilliant they are individually. but we just don't ever see them play. So I have absolutely no idea. I don't know why Seth Curry can't make a shot all of a sudden when he's like a career 42% three-point shooter. I just know that it's not going to – it's not going to be a sweep.
Yeah, look, I had the Nets winning this series before the series started. I was very optimistic, maybe because of the black box reasons, maybe because I just wanted to attend home playoff games within a subway ride of my house. Maybe all of that is true. But I am off that. I mean, what I've seen from the Celtics, I mean, Al, I do think what we've learned is who the Nets are. We actually found that out last game. And I say that because what the Nets want to do is what Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant want to do. And what they want to do is exactly what the Celtics want them to do. They like to take long twos. They like to ISO up. They like to take turns. They like to try and break down defenses from that superstar down, top-down perspective. And the Celtics love that. They want more of that. They love the fact that the Nets are not shooting threes. They love the fact that they're leaning into their inefficiencies. Because for the Nets, there has been this exceptionalism because they have KD and Kyrie. Those two guys have always feasted on things that have been inefficient for others. But now, game two was the first time in 55 games as teammates that those two guys both shot worse than 33% from the field. And is that
an anomaly?
Yeah. Is that partly anomalous? Yes, but it's also by design. And it's by design of those two guys and of the defense. They wanted to do this. And the Celtics were like, you know what we can do? Let you do it and ride it out from there because we have guys who can defend you better than you've ever seen.
Can something be partly anomalous?
Anomalous.
Can you have partial anomalies? I don't think you can.
No, it's either a full anomaly or it's not.
Yeah, it's like
you know the worst part
it's like
of
pregnancy.
All of this? The worst part of all of this, you guys, is that the Nets are so unlikable that I keep naturally, when I'm watching these games, rooting for Boston. And that is so hard to come to terms with. Imagine how unlikable you have to be. And Fox, you can shake your head all you want, and I know. But you want the Nets to win. It's just like in theory I do.
I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. So I picked Boston to win the series before the series started. But I still, when I'm watching the games, I'm still rooting for the Nets. Like I can't help it. It's just like I'm sorry. Like I understand that the history of the Celtics has been different in recent years than the way that they built that organization. But it's something about it. Just when I see it, it's like I want them to lose. I'm sorry.
Wow. How dare you?
It's always been me until this year, man. That's how unlikable the Nets are. I'm like really mad at them for that. I'm like, I keep saying things in my head like, I want to root for Ime. Like, I want.
Yeah.
I love
yeah,
you're
trying to.
Like, all
you're
these things
to.
That make it feel better, yeah. right? And it hurts. It sucks. I don't want to root for the Celtics.
Yeah.
God.
What you're saying is that both of you guys, in the end, just want to dance on the face of Lucky the Leprechaun. Still.
Nope. It's not his face that bothers me. It's the many faces in the crowd.
I was going to say, Lucky honestly. Is the least offensive person yeah. there, trust me.
Yeah, Lucky seems whimsical. Right, he's all right with me. But yeah, it's the rest of Boston that makes it very difficult to root for their Celtics in the history of the organization.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue against that, but what I can do is point out that
Danny Ainge is gone.
Danny Ainge is gone.
In that Utah.
Helps. That helps. Yeah, he's in
that
Utah.
I was going to go in the
Ime Udoka is the coach.
Too.
That helps.
You know who's coming back?
Nia Long be courtside.
You know who, nice. Who you can root for with me in game four?
Jaylen Brown?
Nope.
Who?
No. Ben Simmons.
Ew, no.
Yeah.
See, you're going to get more unlikable. I'm telling you, it's so hard to root for this team.
Ben yeah. Simmons plans to return for game four, baby.
I have no trouble rooting for this team. I don't think they're good, but I have no trouble rooting for this team. In large part, the reason why I had no trouble rooting for the LeBron Heat, because people hate them, and the people who hate them are people that I hate. So, like, it makes me happy to root for the Nets because the people who hate the Nets are people who are like, oh, players got too much power, too much control. You can't just up and go different teams. Like, they're fundamentally people that I disagree with on a normal basis. So I would like for the Nets to succeed, even though I think that they're not going to succeed.
You think that? Because I'm pretty sure Kyrie Irving is much more in line with Pablo's jeans crowd than anybody else. Are you joking right now? They love him. He's their poster child. What are you talking about?
Let's go, Celtics. Let's go.
Alabaster.
Hold on. Can we actually discuss this Steve Nash quote? Because obviously it was Shams who reported that Ben Simmons is going to come back for game four. Shams is obviously a bit of a, I think it's fair to say, a mouthpiece for Clutch. Is it possible that Steve Nash actually didn't know that Ben Simmons is going to return and Shams found out first?
Can you be a bit anomalous? Can you be a bit of a mouthpiece? Anomalous. These are all philosophical questions that we're really grappling with today. Shams does seem very plugged into the Clutch camp. Clutch represents Ben Simmons, Steve Nash. Yeah, there is injury gamesmanship. Presumably somewhere here, he is under no obligation to reveal when Ben Simmons is coming back. Who does that help? But it also does kind of feel like Steve Nash isn't calling the shots.
Yes, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I see this quote. Is Steve Nash, don't give this quote. Given the way people talk about you, don't give this quote. Right. It's not a quote you want to give.
You specifically should not be giving this quote. Other coaches can get away with it.
No comment, and then send a very angry email to somebody about
when I have something to say, you'll know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's news to me.
Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, really? Oh,
man.
Just some good old-fashioned passive-aggressive periods at the end of sentences like, please keep me in the loop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah, he could have turned it.
Yours,
and he had personality.
Steve.
Yeah.
Yep.
He could have turned it on the reporters if he had a personality and been like, oh, well, perfect. I'm glad that the Shams is making that news to me. How many minutes will he be able? Yeah. I can't wait to find out from Shams what his minutes restriction will be. Shams. Write about it, Shams.
Oh, man. Shams.
Here we go.
PR advisor for Steve Nash is a good job. He should hire L. That's good. Go on the offensive.
That 100%. You remember the I guess that was a Key and Peele sketch when they had the anger translator for the president.
Yeah,
I feel like we need surrogates for coaches. Like that's a job because they aren't you would think they'd be more charismatic and more used to this. Like we need
exactly.
It's such a sad picture.
It's so sad. It's a perfect metaphor for what this team is and how it operates.
He's not hugging him back. It's bad.
No, he's not.
Steve Nash.
Because Kevin Durant's whispering in his ear. He's like, I'll get you fired. See, look. He's saying that in his ear. He's like, say I'm your dad. Say I'm your dad. Say it's me.
KD is telling Steve Nash the opposite of that Titanic quote. I will let go. I will always let go. I think he's trying to stay afloat.
I was thinking more of cartel speak. He's telling him silver or lead. You can get money or you can get gone. Just shut up. Just go along with the program. This is what we're doing. You can keep signing, keep receiving these checks, or you want to go home and build model boats. Ooh. I assume that's Steve Nash's hobby, right?
Loves model boats.
He looks like a model boat builder.
Loves, or at least loves models and boats.
Oh, yeah, that seems more like it. He seems like someone that would do something he definitely makes beer in his garage or does something yogi-ish. He makes acai bowls.
Steve Nash would be awesome at soccer golf.
He'd
be incredible.
He actually is a really good soccer player, but he would be the guy in the crew that has a thing. And everyone's like, you need some help on that? Go holler at Steve. Because he has all his time to get good at making beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, confetti.
I have a neighbor like that. I'm like, I don't know what he does for a living. I just know he's always home. He has beer in his garage that he makes. He's always out for jobs, but he does have a job, and it's apparently a big time job.
Does he have handwriting like Alabaster's? Because those are some warning signs.
I got some questions. Adam, the confetti. Are we celebrating too early? Have we won a championship?
Woo, 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 woo. We're the T-Wolves. We're the